Hello and welcome to this Expert HR podcast with me, Noelle Murphy. Today we're going to get to grips with people analytics, one of the most significant changes within the HR function and business as a whole. People analytics uses employee data to answer business questions and offer real business insight. I'm joined on the phone by Sjoerd van den Heuvel, a researcher and lecturer at the Utrecht University of Applied Science in the Netherlands. Sjoerd has done a lot of work around the development, implementation and acceptance of people analytics and is going to share the benefit of his experience, providing an overview on the hows and whys when it comes to this area. Thanks for joining us today, Sjoerd.
Thanks for having me.
So if we take this from the very beginning and we look at why HR practitioners should start engaging with the process of people analytics, can you offer a little bit of insight?
The why question is fascinating. I think many organizations start, well, basically because others are starting with people analytics. So not always there is a solid business case, but given that the HR function has been thinking and trying to, for the last 20 years, to really make a difference and really impact the business, this could be the moment they've been waiting for: a big data influence and using big data essentially to drive business performance. And since all kind of functions like the finance function and the marketing function have been doing that and have been quite successful in doing so, the HR function, the people function, so to say, is a little bit behind still. So this is their chance.
So it's really kind of about changing the language, isn't it, that they use in the workplace and utilizing the information that is there already for them, but bringing it together in order to influence business cases and kind of speak the language that the rest of the organization uses.
The language is an essential part, and what it is linked with, in my view, is the multidisciplinarity of the topic of people analytics. It is really not within the boundaries of the HR discipline. To do proper people analytics, you should have capabilities, either within the analytics team, either within the organization or externally, in the area of storytelling, in the area of data privacy, compliance, in the area of course, business, the business intimacy, understanding the true business problems, the products, the services businesses provide, but also technology skills, software for data collection, for data analysis, for data visualization. And, well, listening to this list, how many of these competencies do we now have as an HR person? I think that's a good self-reflection question for the HR practitioners of today.
Yes, and I suppose it's a measure of the significance of the change that will be required within the HR function as well, isn't it, to get to grips with that. So I think we're going to come on to that. But if we look and keep at the overview level, what are the key measures, would you say, that employers should be looking to gather?
Let me not answer this question because I think it's not possible and, to be honest, not relevant to answer this question. In our vision, what we teach professionals and young students in the area of people analytics is that your point of departure is always the business problem, or call it an opportunity or a challenge, at hand. So, and following the stepwise process of analytics results then in what actual questions to ask, what actual concepts to measure, and then what kind of data to gather, and then perhaps what kind of analysis you want to do and resulting in certain metrics. Let me share you a short story that John Boudreau wrote in his book, Investing in People. He was explaining that a gentleman was walking around and saw there another gentleman, and this gentleman was looking around, and it seemed that he lost something. And he asked the gentleman, did you do something, and can I help you with something? Yeah, I lost my keys, he said. Okay, and where did you lose them? Oh, down there in the dark alley. Okay, but why are you looking here then? Well, here's light. Here I can see everything. And I think this short story really explains what we're doing in organizations right now. We look at what we have. We look at the data we have, the HR data we have, but we don't actually dive into the true business problem and follow this logical, this stepwise process coming to certain data that you may not collect at the moment, but which really is the key to strategic business success.
I think what you're saying is it's all about identifying the question that you want to answer initially.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that probably, you know, for the HR function, that question doesn't have to start out very complicated or very complex, does it? I mean, you can delve into the area of retention, for example, and how you explore your labour turnover figures. So, for example, you might have your labour turnover data, but what does that actually tell you? So it's about identifying key areas where there are specific issues with employee retention. Would you say that's a good example?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, and it resonates with our vision on people analytics. First of all, it's a mental framework, and secondly, it's perhaps a little bit of statistics and a little bit of analysis, but it's a mental framework of being critical about the questions you ask, the data you use, but also the process you need to make an impact with analytics. Therefore, storytelling is so key. For example, the costs related to turnover are tremendously high, then it makes perfect sense to dive into that HR subject, so to say. But as you hear me talking, I start with a business element, costs in this situation, which could also be quality or product delivery or client satisfaction or fallacies in the production process, whatever. Yeah.
But the first step there, even in with regards to cost and the cost of labor turnover or, you know, retention, is about accurately gathering that information, isn't it? Accurately recording the cost that it is costing your organization in real terms.
Yeah, accuracy, when you link this to the data you have, then accuracy is a key element in what we teach students in scientific research, basically. And I think people analytics, in essence, is conducting scientific research, but then in the business context, is you create local theories, so to say. Mm-hmm. I think we always work with two concepts, reliability and validity. Reliability, do you, when you measure multiple times, do you always get the same outcome, basically, or is there a lot of fuss around it? And validity, that's perhaps even more important, do you measure what you want to measure? And here, I think, again, the mental framework is so important. Many of the professionals, and I think you recognize this from practice, that oh, yeah, we should do something with, you know, engagement, commitment, proud, those kind of things. Okay, but then we as researchers or as teachers say, come on, these are three so totally complete different subjects. Commitment really is about, it's about the bonding tie, while engagement is about feeling energized at work. So, you know, different concepts. So it starts with good conceptualization of what you want to measure, and then the operationalization is crucial, and then you come to the fact that data should be accurate, data should be reliable, data should be complete, and you should also understand the way that data found its way into the system. Once was with an organization and the education category in the system where they noted the amount of hours that employees had for education. It was some sort of a rest category. So if they needed to fix something in their in the data sheet, okay, let's put it in the column of education. So indeed, understanding this process is of the utmost importance.
You've kind of hit the nail on the head there, really. It's about the quality, the reliability and the validity of the data. But on a day-to-day basis in a HR function, it's about working with the key partners, so people who will have easier access to that information, which HR can then become the gatekeeper of that information so that it can drill down and answer those business questions.
This is a difficult topic because what you're touching on upon is also the, I think, the governance around analytics. And what I've seen now in practice that differs a lot per organization. Some organizations indeed opt for a bit of a translator role. Many of the vacancies I see for people analytics professionals, they are looking for, I don't know if that's an international expression, but we call it a sheep with five legs. So basically, you should be excellent in your social skills and your storytelling skills. Of course, you need to have a PhD in data analytics, and so on, and so on, and so on. That's pretty much impossible. Mm-hmm. So the model you opt for, which, for example, Google opts for basically three roles, the data miner, the translator, which is basically the MBA profile, and then the data scientist, which is standard, like the PhD profile. That could be a way, but other organizations opt for outsourcing the data analytics expertise to an external consulting firm, for example. So perhaps this answer is not really satisfying, but there are many, many ways that lead to Rome and that lead to business success.
No, I think you actually demonstrate really there very well the issues that the HR function does have, in that they won't always have those skill sets in place ready to go. And it's still very much a learning curve. This is a whole different way of approaching the way that information is gathered and indeed utilized within the HR function. So I think what you've said there just demonstrates that perfectly. And in fact, we often get a lot of questions here from HR practitioners about how they can collect the data if they don't have a sophisticated HR system in place. Is Excel going to be a powerful enough tool in this scenario?
Good question. And I think my view on this differs a little bit from, especially from software vendors. And I don't know where the truth is exactly, but in my view, you can do really impactful analytics without having a lot of data, without having an HRIS, or without having an ERP or a fancy cloud solution for your HR data. Again, it comes down to the mental framework. If you are able to identify this really valid and really important strategic business question, and you find out via conceptual modeling that you need these seven variables, these seven data areas to find a good solution or to answer this research question, whatever your goal is, whatever your problem is, and what you want to solve, then you might need only seven data points or seven variables, and you only need the data on these seven variables, which, for example, five of them you already collected, one you collected, but it's not really complete or not totally reliable, so you need to fix that a little bit. And one variable, okay, you need to start collecting data on that variable. And then, what my example illustrates, with seven variables, you make a tremendous business impact. So you didn't spend 2 years on implementing a new system. What the vendors often say, well, the basis should be in place first. First, the data should be okay, complete, etc. But that is not really in line with my view that when you have a more deductive approach of coming to conclusions, making an impact, then you only need a few variables. Yes, when you want to do more explorative research, then it is nice to have a lot of data points and then find out if you can identify relationships that you did not expect. But most organizations and most practitioners advise to start with the business question, then the deductive approach. It makes perfect sense. Formulate hypothesis, and then you need few variables. In short, no, not needed to have an HRIS in place.
Okay, so if we follow the model there and we take, for example, a question around retention and labor turnover, and we look at the business question could be something like, why am I losing part-time workers in the sales function? That's a business question that needs to be answered. What kind of variables do you think it is that HR practitioners would need to pin down?
Well, of course, the theory says a lot about this. It has to do with opportunities for growth, to do with conditions, financial conditions, total reward, so to say. It has to do with the content of your job, to what extent you realized promises, live up to the promises that you have made, at least the perceived promises, the psychological contract, so to say, of the employee. So there are a lot of these elements that can play a role. When we look at this from a little bit more abstract perspective, I would advise professionals also to, let's look at some literature first. And I know we are not really used to that, but many of these questions, or also the questions which variables play a role here, they have been studied for decades even.
Right.
So why start at the beginning? And perhaps, and that really depends on the culture in your organization. If there's a culture which is far away from literature, with a limited amount of academic positions, so to say, or with where academic degrees are needed, then it might not resonate. But if people accept that theory is important and that we have learned a lot in scientific research, then they might also accept that you don't need to study the entire model, the entire conceptual chain. But no, you want to find out how this chain applies in your organization, and a little bit of descriptive research in this manner could be enough. Okay, we have so many people unsatisfied with their current content of their job, and they identify what we learned from our annual survey that, for example, they are a little bit disappointed about their bonuses, whatever. Then you can already draw so many conclusions based on the theory at hand.
part of the insight is going to have to come from the employees themselves. So it's about having the dialogue and the conversation with those part-timers who leave and actually recording it and listening to what people are saying so that it can be used to offer insight.
Oh, that's so true what you're saying. I think the debate has shifted a little bit in the last 5 years, where we 5 years ago basically said, and also at conferences, like the people analytics will be the way to make decisions. It generates decisions. Mm. And now, basically, we're talking about that in a more nuanced manner. We basically say that it's one of the input factors for making good decisions. What I really like in this respect is the evidence-based management approach. Mm-hmm. And it's often confused by professionals with terminology like a fact-based approach. Facts, they hardly exist. Evidence-based management basically says that you deal with the best evidence available. And yes, that can come from objective data, so to say, whatever objective may mean, with system data. But it may also come from perspectives and experiences from employees, from managers, from a very experienced business leader. So it not necessarily has to be this objective system data. It can all be of all kinds of sources, but it is the best available evidence, and a dialogue, interaction with your relevant stakeholders, not only employees, but also those experts, these professionals from these various disciplines that I mentioned earlier, is crucial in this.
Yeah, so it's about the rich data that you can get from both employees who have decided to remain and those who have left. And that helps to build up the full picture that you can supplement with the data that you have around identifying where there are issues.
One interesting thing is what you're saying now, the people who have left. This is a great example of people analytics as a mental framework. How can you best identify why people are leaving? And many of the organizations start at, remember my story before, where the line is, what kind of data we have. But what really gives you an insight is talking to those people who left. And also, common sense even, but also theory, learns us that when people have their exit interview, at the time they are still very dissatisfied, frustrated perhaps even, then they leave, and then you have the interview, but perhaps 3 months after they have left, or even a year after they have left, what is then their view, with retrospective, of course, but why did they leave, and how is now the grass greener at the competition, for example? So logical thinking is so essential here, a mental framework, I cannot repeat that enough.
What's becoming clear is that it's a data upon data, isn't it? And it's not just one layer, and it's not just accessing one level of information, but putting all these parts together to give you as clear a picture as possible so that you can draw out various insights as time goes on.
Exactly. Completely agree.
So one of the other things that when we start talking to HR practitioners, all the research that we've done, one of the concerns that's emerged specifically is that those who work for smaller organizations or work within smaller organizations, they seem to be a little uncertain as to how they can actually use people analytics. I think because they think it's all about the big data. But I suppose what we're saying here is that it's about building a picture and taking information, not necessarily just data, from various sources and pulling it all together to put together a big picture.
Yeah, for the big data, the statistic insights, you need to have a certain minimum amount of data points, so to say. Many data points, that question we get a lot, but that really depends on the how homogeneous your group is. Yes, you can imagine if you have a pool of 200 secretaries, you can do proper research in that group. But if you have like 20 job roles within a group of 200 people, then it's hard to generalize your results on one specific group to the entire population. So that's an important aspect. And when you connect it, and I think people analytics is all about that, connecting the people elements, whether it's HR practices or whether it's characteristics of employees, to, on the other end, the business outcomes, then you might have so much more data. Imagine this small organization of 100 people, but who serve 3,000 clients. Mm-hmm. Then you have, of course, a lot of variance within these client data, whether it's client satisfaction, indicators of how smooth the process went. And you can connect that actually to your people data, even if it's only about or on 100 people. So these are important questions to ask. How homogeneous is your group? To what extent can we connect it with business data? And I think you should always ask yourself the question, does the amount of investment you need to make in doing analytics, unless it's your hobby, does it justify the potential gain you can have with it? And because you often hear HR professionals say when we talk about their engagement scores, well, how high should it be? Well, as high as possible, it should be a 9. Well, it really depends. If it costs you 2 million to get from an 8 to a 9, sure, and only results in 100K additional sales, I think you should think twice then.
Okay, well, that sounds like a very good summary, really, of everything we've been talking about, and particularly to keep an eye on how much this whole process is going to cost. So it's about return on investment as well. Just before we finish up, I wondered if you had any comments on the general data protection regulations and any impact that this will have on the data collection process or the whole area of people analytics.
If you haven't started, get started. That's funny because the last conferences have lost 2 years or something. Yeah, GDPR is very important. But by the way, today we won't talk about it. So I see many organizations making a sprint right now to get things fixed a little bit. I think my key message there would be, yes, of course, employees get more rights, so to say, to ask which data the organization collects, to transfer it to other organizations, to write to be forgotten, etc. My general advice for organizations would be, and especially for people analytics experts, we can think in all kind of restrictions that there are, but why not think in opportunities that there are to generate well-being for employees together with organizational effectiveness. And I think GDPR is not necessarily putting restrictions in this perspective, but it may very well provide opportunities for sustainable success on both sides, so for the employee and for the organization.
Well, thanks very much, Sjoerd, for joining us today and sharing all those valuable insights with us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
If this podcast has raised any issues in the area of people analytics that you'd like to explore further, please do take a look at our good practice guide on this topic. Also, we have developed a new analytics product, Expert HR Retention Analytics. This allows you to proactively mitigate risks and focus on initiatives that really matter in managing retention. This product builds on decades of experience analysing pay and HR data, and our powerful technology helps you cut through the complexity and unlock your most important insights. More information is available on our website. And that brings us to the end of this Expert HR podcast. Thanks a million for listening, and we look forward to you joining us next time.